Okay, here we are. State of mind. By the time you see this, we would have hit 100,000 subscriptions. And I said 100. I said it right. Because a lot of times I and I'm gonna get emotional, and I don't want to get emotional yet. But it was hard work. But if it wasn't for you guys, obviously it wouldn't have happened. So I appreciate that. All right, so today on State of Mind, it's going to be the fitness state of mind. And I've never done that. In all my state of minds, I've never done a fitness state of mind. And I'm excited because I'm doing it with someone who he's the top online trainer in the world. Now, I looked that up. That's what it said. He may be one of the, but it didn't say one of the. It said top. He's an actor, author. We'll talk more about all that stuff. A Marine. Amazing. And let me tell you something. I saw a picture of him, and I don't think I've ever seen anyone more cut. And I thought it would be funny for me to wear this shirt. And then he walks in. I'm just teasing to the audience because they're, you know, who is this guy? And I went, oh, why did I put this shirt on? His name is Clark Bartram. How are you, buddy?
Brother, I'm better now that I'm here, sitting here across from you. Let me tell you right out of the gate, I love your energy. I love the fact that you jumped right out with just this gratitude and started to cry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're so grateful for what you're doing. And It just makes me happy that I took the time to drive here and be with you. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen here, brother.
Oh, man. I appreciate that. And you have a good energy, and it's making me emotional. I don't know why, but it is. But it's great. I love that. So, Clark, let's go from when you were young. I'm going to go from there. Were you like the baddest dude in class all the time? Or were you into fitness then? Or was it just, did it just come later?
I wasn't the baddest dude in class in the sense that I was the toughest guy. Okay, yeah, I can see that, man. I can see that little tough guy in you. I wasn't. I was a shy kid, in all honesty. I was brutally shy. It was bad. And that gave me a little bit of an attitude because I think there was some fear behind that.
Mm.
Single parent, my mom raising four kids, dad not around, that whole bit, right? We all have that backstory. Yeah. But I think that's what kind of gave me this just sense of lack. I didn't feel like I was enough at a young age. So I was just shy. I kind of kept to myself, man.
Was there any mental health, or because at that time nobody really talked about anything, right?
No, we never. And I thought about that the other day. It's an interesting question. I never knew what depression was. That was not even in my vocabulary. You were happy or you were sad. You were playing or you weren't. It was just life. And you never really judged a day based upon a feeling. It wasn't until recently, honestly, that I knew what depression was. I never felt like I got depressed or had issues with anxiety until I got depressed and had issues with anxiety. So it's when like that book right there was born from the darkest moment in my life.
Right here, people.
Yeah.
Yes. What was it when you first felt it, man?
Absolute fear. So
yes.
I'll give you the little backstory on that book. So I was on Home Shopping Network selling products. Did really well. Made a bunch of money. Flying home. Watching Million Dollar Baby on the airplane. Out of nowhere, my whole body started to tingle.
Ooh.
My hands started sweating. My feet were sweating. My tongue felt like it was swelling in my head. My heart started to race. And I thought, I'm dying. Or I'm going crazy. Or I'm going to go crazy and then die.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I had this idea that I was going to jump out. I literally was going to get up and go jump out of the airplane. And then I thought to myself, well, I'll kill everybody else on here. That's kind of rude.
Yeah.
So I fastened the seatbelt and I'm like, I got to make it. So I finally make it home. It was hard to get on the next airplane. But then I ended up losing the contract on Home Shopping because I couldn't get back on an airplane. I was just absolutely devastated with fear, anxiety. So I started to study the mind. I started going to counseling. I took courses because I didn't want to medicate. And not that there's anything wrong with that for anyone who does.
Right.
It just wasn't for me. I didn't think that was something that I needed to do or wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I really dove deep into the mind. I'm like, there has to be a way out, right? If I'm feeling this way, I can feel that way. And it's just a matter of learning how to manage these feelings and emotions that I was having. And I ended up doing that. And that book was born out of it. I was sitting there one day after gaining all of this knowledge. I was watching this preacher lady on TV by the name of Joyce Meyer. She said,
I love Joyce Meyer.
Okay, all right. So Joyce said, where the mind goes, the man
falls. Yeah, yeah.
I swear to you on my life, I was sitting there and in my spirit, I heard that's the title of your book. And I'm like, I'm looking around my house. I'm talking with God now. I'm like, I'm not writing a book. He's like, yeah, you are.
What?
I'm like, I'm not writing a book, dude. I'm like, I got like, I don't know how to do grammar. I'm not good at that. No lie. I lose this argument. I get up from my seat in that moment. I walk to my computer and it started pouring out of me.
Like,
for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. All of this knowledge that I gained through this moment in my life that was horrible started to come out. And it ended up being that book.
So that's beautiful, man. That's the kind of stuff that happens to me quite a bit. What got you back on the plane?
Realizing that it was just a moment in time and I was working through some things and it had to happen, right? All of those stuff that we kind of push down in life. We're guys, we're tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I am a tough guy now.
Yeah.
I wasn't a tough guy then, but I'm not really. You know, I'm a really gentle person who loves people. But, you know, you push these emotions down, maybe even unknowingly. And I was doing that. And they just got to the point where they had to come out. And they came out. And it just all kind of like throwing up in a way. You throw up all of this emotion through crying and depression and hiding and losing contracts and possibly relationships. And all sorts of stuff happens.
So you just got on a plane?
Yeah.
And you didn't have PTSD or anything?
Well, after I worked through it.
I mean, yeah, but
there was fear. And there were times after that when I had another panic attack getting ready to get on a plane. Walking down that jetway going, oh my God. Realizing you're going into a tube that is going to go 35,000 feet into the air. And you're trapped there for however long that flight is. That's scary.
Now, Clark, is yours dying or claustrophobic?
Just panic attack. So it's not related to death. It's not a fear of an airplane. It's just panic.
You know, I don't know. I've said it. I've talked about it everywhere. I got off two planes.
Really?
And I didn't fly for 10 years. Wow. And I asked Dr. Drew. He was at my house. What do I do? He says, I have the same thing. And I said, he says, just get on. I said, well, that's easy for you to say. Yeah. Just get on. But mine came from one night I went to the airport and they were giving me trouble at the thing. And I'm like, no, no. And then my friend goes, that's Sonny. You can let him through, you know, the character I play on the show. So they let me through. And as I was walking through, I hear, fuck you guys. Fuck you. And I'm like, fuck. And I was tired. So I get on the plane, this guy comes in, he says to my friend, you guys are fucking special. And my friend looked at me and he said, I look like Joe Frazier, you know, like with black eyes. And I said to the guy, you want to talk about it? We'll get off the plane and I'll tell you the real story. And he said, no. I, in my seat, fall asleep. Wake up. I said, Ron, are we there yet? He goes, no, we haven't left. That was my first anxiety attack. Whew, I felt like I had to take my clothes off. Yeah, all the fear. I was like, how do I get off the plane? It's a mother, man. I get it.
Yeah.
And then I finally got on the plane coming back, but I didn't fly for 10 years.
Damn.
So I get you.
Yeah, see, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to give in to the fear and give it power over me from flying. I knew I had to do it. So, I mean, there have been moments in my life where I've been riddled with fear, but still did it anyway. Because when you give it that power, it gets bigger. It's like a monster just gets growing and growing. You know, so I had another one for you on Home Shopping Network.
No.
I'm standing off stage, right? You've been there. I'm standing off stage. I have a product called JetFlex at the time. They're introducing me, and you have the ear prompt in. You've got the mic on. The line producers are listening to you. Whole thing, body tingling, all of it. And I'm like, I'm going to run out the back door. I can't go on here. 88 million people live TV.
No.
Yes, sir. I'm like, screw it. I got to walk out there. The minute I walked out there, gone, went away. Absolutely.
I know. It does. Okay. Here's what I said, because you talked about, this is amazing the way this conversation is going, because I thought we were going to talk about bodies and this and that and fitness. Well, we will, but it's just great. It does go, okay, look, I say about anxiety, because that's the, I've had 3 manic episodes. I've been in a mental institution. I got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of depression. But anxiety is the one that has gotten me kind of the worst, and it still does. I say to people, I didn't take medication for anxiety, and I could get through it. But if you've kind of gone overboard and you're at a place where, like I was during the lockdown, you got to get help and professional help, because nothing helps at that point. But the key is prevent it from happening.
Yeah.
Know your triggers. Eat well, as you know. Meditation, yoga, do what you have to do so it doesn't happen. And I've been cool for 2 years, man.
That's awesome.
Nothing. Buddy. I'm feeling like $1 million. If I could bottle the way I feel, I'd sell it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with men specifically is the attitude of bravado, the attitude of, oh my God, the attitude of, oh, I'm not crazy. I don't need help. I don't need this. It's preventive. When I tell guys with fitness, it's like, hey, don't get fat and come to me 50 pounds overweight, and it's a lot harder to work with you. Be smart, exercise, eat right, like you just said. And mental health is the same way. Men don't talk about mental health enough because it's kind of a taboo sort of thing. It's like when a woman goes into menopause, men have andropause, but it's okay for women to talk about menopause. It's just part of the woman culture.
Yeah.
But men don't talk about andropause, which is the same thing. It's a hormone imbalance.
What is that? I never heard.
It's just a hormone imbalance that happens at around the same age. The same thing happens, but men don't talk about it because it's not something that we were ever taught to do by our dads. We push down our feelings. Men don't cry. Yeah, all of this crap that we heard growing up.
Hello.
It's not the same anymore so much, but if you get ahead of that curve and just go do talk therapy, talk to somebody, stuff will come up eventually. You will find out that there is something that you've been suppressing, something that's held you back from doing something that you want to do, and it's okay. Like we, as guys that people would look to, look, you're a handsome guy on the cover of a book. I'm an okay looking guy on the cover of a book. So it kind of has people going, wow, they kind of have this status. So if we use that to give men permission to go get help, even if they're not feeling like they need help, you know what I mean?
Clark, what you're saying is exactly what I've been doing for 30 years. And it's exactly why I created State of Mind, because of, you know, men, they think it's weak to cry, to, you know, and it's not.
Dude, it's so powerful.
So powerful.
If a man could understand, like I look for, you know what I love when I go to counseling? I love when my counselor looks at me and says, no, you're wrong. You need to fix this. And I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I want to fix this.
Yeah.
And when I go into my counseling sessions, my counselor looks at me like, I've never had somebody so honest with me ever. Like, you're not afraid to say anything. I'm like, isn't that why I'm here?
Yeah.
Isn't that why I showed up here today in this seat?
Yes.
And I've gone through many. I've had counselors that, you know, have passed away, and counselors that said, hey, we've run our course. We're done. And it's not even that I would classify myself as anyone who had manic episodes or was locked up or any of that sort of thing. I'm just a regular dude on the street trying to make it through life that has issues that come up that I'm not equipped on my own to handle without a professional looking at me to at least listen and offer advice based upon a unique set of skills that, they can provide.
Yeah. I can see why you're so successful, because I could just feel it in the way you speak. You're honest. You have a lot of knowledge. When bodybuilding, let's talk, because I'm a, hey man, let me tell you something about bodybuilding. Look, Sergio Oliva,
okay.
Frank Zane.
You're going back. I was just at Frank Zane's house.
No.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, I was actually wearing this shirt. I walked in. So, okay, Frank
no.
Zane. Me and Frank are buddies. Frank comes walking out into his room where there are three Sandow trophies in there, right? I'm looking at him in the background. As Frank Zane walks in, he's coming in. I'm coming up to him. I stick my hand out to shake his hand. I look him straight in the eye, and he breaks the look, and he looks at my bicep. I'm like, oh, Frank Zane's checking out my bicep. And we shook hands, and I'm like, I caught you staring at my bicep. He's like, you got a good bicep. I'm like,
that's amazing.
Just a few weeks ago.
Because he was like the smaller
190,
compared to the
pounds.
Big guys, but he kept winning Mr. Olympias.
Yeah.
I like.
He's intelligent, man. He's a smart guy.
Is he?
Yeah, very smart.
Like Robbie Robinson, remember him?
Oh, Robbie's voice is so deep. I was watching him with a video on Mike O'Hearn. Yeah, it's like the deepest voice I've ever heard. But that guy is shredded at 76 years old.
Still.
Better today than he was back in Pumping Iron.
Really?
100%. At 76, something like that.
Because these guys still work out and everything?
Oh, Robbie does. Yeah.
Wow. So, what about testosterone?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I want to talk about it. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important to fix it.
Yeah.
What can you tell me?
So, number one, I'm not on any. That's the number one thing on the internet. Yeah. Guys refuse to believe that at the age of 59, my testosterone level is 874.
I can't believe. You're like a freak of nature.
Well, this is a huge subject that I absolutely love. So there's, you have genetics, right? Which is genetic potential. Your genetic potential will only take you as far as your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Or epigenetics.
Yeah.
So at a young age, you asked, okay, I was an athlete growing up and I was a Marine and all of that stuff. So my lifestyle took over at an early age and I've been living it forever. So the genetic potential that I had was coupled with the epigenetics that have been going on for decades now. So at the age of 59, I'm able to maintain high levels of testosterone because of the lifestyle that I have.
Yeah.
So it's what I teach my guys that I coach are mindset. Number one thing, mindset. Mindset, meals, movement, community, and integrity. If you put all of those things together collectively, I'm absolutely thoroughly convinced that any man can naturally raise his testosterone without the use of exogenous hormones.
Yeah.
Whether it's a patch, a pellet, a cream, a shot, or even pills now. They have testosterone pills.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with men using testosterone, but not until they've exhausted all of the natural means possible.
Yeah.
So the guys who come to me with this idea, oh, my buddy down the street got on testosterone and he suddenly lost 30 pounds and he's having sex every single night. I'm like, that ain't gonna happen to you. His experience is not gonna be your experience. So my recommendation and what I force on my guys is, number one, get your blood checked. You need to understand where you're at first. Right. And then you apply the principles based upon what your blood is showing you. There are markers in our blood that are indicators like, okay, this hormone's off, that hormone's off. It might not be that you need testosterone. Maybe it's stress management. I was thinking about this today. Prescriptions. If doctors are prescribing drugs based upon research and science, right, for anxiety, why wouldn't, okay, I want everyone to listen to this. And if there are doctors listening to this, please understand where I'm coming from. If it's based on science and research, why wouldn't the first prescription they give be mindset, meals, movement, community? The people you hang around are going to affect your testosterone.
Yes.
If you're in a freaking locker room full of men, your testosterone's automatically going up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're raised around a bunch of women, your testosterone is probably not going to be as high as it could have been if you were around a bunch of men. It's just the energy. So anyway, if the anxiety thing, why wouldn't a doctor prescribe exercise? First thing out of the gate, he pulls out his little pad. Instead of giving Xanax, he says, based upon the research, do you exercise? No, I don't. Okay, so your prescription is, the guy's expecting Xanax. Go out and exercise 3 days a week and give that to them. Or maybe even have it be attached to a personal trainer where it's paid for instead of a drug.
Yeah.
Why not?
What you're
saying? Am I the first person to think about this?
Well, I never thought, and it's a valid point. I wish I had thought about it, damn. But anyway, you're saying they should exhaust everything before you get to the medication.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Why? Because it's money. Right?
Well, yeah, that's a whole rabbit trail we can go down that would...
Right.
I could
say. But you're absolutely right. Hey, have you... You need to meditate. You need to go for a walk. You need to work out. You need to eat better. And then when you do all that and it doesn't work, then we can talk about this.
Yep.
But Clark...
I guarantee you that the prescriptions for those drugs would go down.
Yes, but guess what? They don't want it to go down.
No. You know, if you think about medicine...
You like the way I whispered like that?
Yeah. But they still heard it, and you wanted them to hear it. That was intentional. I really love that. They don't want it to happen. They want to keep you stuck.
But you're freaking right, man.
Think about medicine and how medicine's practiced. It's silos. Right? You have a doctor for this, you have a doctor for that. So you have your GP, and then you have a podiatrist, and you have an endocrinologist, and you have all of these silos of medicine, and they never communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Our human existence is way more complicated than one approach. You can't heal doing one single thing.
Yep.
I would never tell you, if you came to me and say, Clark, how do I get ripped? I would never tell you just get on the treadmill and walk.
No.
That's foolish.
Right.
I need to give you a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
So that comes from all of the knowledge that I've gained collectively. So I said I was around Frank Zane. So my knowledge is, let's say, 30 years in the fitness industry. But it's compounded by Frank Zane, Mike O'Hearn, Arnold, whoever. Jack LaLanne was one of me and Jack LaLanne traveled the country together.
Dang.
I drank with Jack LaLanne. We got drunk on his 89th birthday, had a blast. His knowledge is in me.
Yes, of course.
So now when I'm prescribing that, it's not silo. It's all of this that I'm not being protective, like I'm an MD and I'm not going to listen to Eastern medicine or I'm not going to listen to an acupuncturist. Come on, man.
I get you. Wow.
You got me fired up, bro.
No, that's beautiful, man. And I don't know what the... Let's see what else I can... Oh, I want to tell you, I'm friends with Kevin Lavrone. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Or was friends with Kevin Lavrone.
Okay.
But we can't get into
that. Can't get into that. It's a different
story. I'll tell you what I... Well, first of all, what is an ISSA master trainer?
It's an association.
That's what Clark is.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a... It's amazing.
Well, I want to know who said I was the number one online fitness person. I don't know where you found that, but it wasn't me. I didn't say it. I've made up a lot of stuff about me, but that wasn't one of them. Maybe you just imagined that. You wanted me to be that guy because you wanted the show to be better.
No, I actually, two places it said it. Two different places.
I'm coming up.
But that's pretty good. I'll tell you what I did, because I was into bodybuilding when I was in high school. And I was in 11th grade, and I decided that when I was going into my senior year, because I was like a tough guy, I wanted to get big. So what I did was I pumped a lot of iron, smoked a lot of weed, ate a lot of food, but it was bad food, like Whoppers, double beef Whopper with cheese, that kind of stuff.
That's what they call a dirty bulk now.
And I, in 3 months, was it three? Yeah, so the summertime, I gained 30 pounds. My arms were 16 inches.
Triceps.
Triceps.
Yeah, look at those,
You don't want any part of that. And But the problem was I didn't know anything about it. At that time, nobody cared about eating and stuff. And I was kind of fat here, but since my arms were big, I was like cool as hell. But, you know, that was my bodybuilding.
So all you need is some pipes, man, some, you know.
So let's talk about food, man.
Okay.
I have every morning. And Frank Grillo, you know, is an actor. Yeah. He came in. He's ripped.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
Maybe episode. Not as ripped as
but
you.
But he's a tough guy. So he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. He's a legitimate tough guy.
We both do bulletproof coffee every morning. What do you think about bulletproof coffee?
I've heard things. I've heard there's mold and there's stuff, and it's, you know, Dave Asprey's.
Right.
He's moved on to be a much bigger thing than bulletproof coffee. I don't even know if he even says bulletproof coffee anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
He's moved past that, but everything has a little marketing angle to it, right? Like me being the number one online fitness trainer. What? How do we even quantify that?
Yeah.
How do we know?
I say you are, and then you are.
That's it. It's done, then. Okay. I'm running with that. But how do we know that this bulletproof coffee does what it does?
I get you.
You know, it to me, it goes back to the mindset piece. The reason my testosterone is at 874 at 59 years old is because I absolutely 100% believe it is possible for me as a human to manipulate my body through, Asprey is known for this hacks, right? He's all about these biohacking. So I get in the cold plunge, I get in the hot.
You do that?
The sauna, I do contrast therapy for the sole purpose of boosting my testosterone. And I will say this, just to verify what I said earlier, I have two doctors that have looked at my blood and said, I wanted to call Clark out on this, but this dude is 100% natural. We know what to look for. There's a feedback loop, and we know what happens when you stick exogenous testosterone in there, and there's no signs of that in this.
Damn.
So, and I'm only pushing that home because people don't want to believe. That's the limited mindset, man.
Yeah.
And that's what I try and help guys. I did a Zoom call this morning with my guys. I'm like, guys, look, back up. Because we get anxious when we want to get fit or we want to get rich or we want to get whatever, we get anxious. And that anxiousness kind of holds us back from accomplishing whatever it is that we are seeking out. So the Zoom call I had this morning was like, guys, it's basic. You just have to eat right. What is eating right? You have macronutrients, right? You have protein, fat, and carbohydrates. You pick out the best choices of those macronutrients and eat them in the right amounts. So it comes down to as simple as this, and as some fitness people are gonna all get bent out of shape, but too bad, I don't care. It is if you wanna lose weight, you get in a calorie deficit. If you wanna gain weight, you get in a calorie surplus. That's it. And the way you do that, if you wanna cut out 500 calories for someone who's trying to lose weight, you take out 250 in calories of your food, which is one slice of cake, and then you add 250 in the treadmill in there that nobody uses.
Yeah.
That's simple. That's 500 calories.
You know, Clark, I was boxing for 25 years. And what happened was, I think I had a lot more anxiety when I was boxing because my hands would shake.
Yeah.
And I think it was when somebody's coming at you to punch you, and I don't think it was, because I haven't boxed in 2 years and my hands aren't shaking. Now, all I do, you ever heard of nuclear core? Mm-mm. This thing where it's for your core, you shake it.
Like the shake weight.
Yeah, but it's the whole thing, and you do it for 15 minutes straight, I do it.
Okay.
I've been doing that. I've been walking sprints, and push-ups, 100.
Yeah.
And I feel great. I look actually better than I did. I think some people overwork. Is that true?
Absolutely. I was going to say, if everyone did what you just said, all of the people who start doing that will start getting in better shape. It's pretty basic. And I would say the reason you're not having the shakes with your hands anymore is you're not activating the fight or flight. You got a person coming in your face. So what happens is your adrenal glands start firing off. All of this feedback starts happening. So cortisol is up and it's out of whack. And that causes us to get imbalanced in our hormones.
Yeah. It's a shame because I love boxing.
Yeah.
And maybe I was overdoing the boxing like twice a week. I should have done it twice a month. Maybe it wouldn't have been as bad. I don't know yet because I haven't gone back to boxing.
Yeah. I was good friends with Marvis Frazier. That was a buddy.
Marvis Frazier. Yeah.
He taught me, Marvis, and I know you got to end up here, but Marvis taught me what it was like. I'll never forget. He said, Clark, you want to know why people get knocked out? We were eating dinner. We spoke in prisons together with Prison Fellowship.
Oh.
So he picks up a glass with ice in it, and he takes a fork, and he spins the ice around, and it hits the outside of the glass, and you hear the clanging. He goes, that's why you get knocked out. Your brain hits your skull.
Right.
And that's the concussions and the brain injury. And
like football.
That's football.
All that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff, man.
All right, listen. This has been...
Too short is what it's been. We got so much to talk about. I know you got another guest, but I need to come back again.
You'll come back again. Yeah. No, you're going to come back again for damn sure. Because I'm so into this that we're going to do a part two. And when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. So we'll do a part two. Because I want to tell the audience that this guy, Clark, has so much knowledge that what he gave in this time we've had right now was, for me, I learned a hell of a lot. And I think, because I know my main audience is women, get your husbands to watch this one with Clark. And go to his, whatever, Clark.
Yeah, clarkbartram.com. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You know, whatever, but. We're going to do a part two because he's a great guy. Didn't know we were going to get into such anxiety and all that stuff, which was amazing. I really appreciate it, man.
I appreciate being here, brother. Thanks for inviting me into your beautiful home here and your great studio and a great conversation. We need to hang out. We need to get in that gym together and work out.
I'd love to, man.
Yeah, I'll make it happen. I'll come up here.
Yeah. All right. We're going to do part two. That will happen.
Let's go.
Fantastic.
Let's go.
State of mind. Thank you very much.
Beautiful.